all over the internet and Facebook in particular. This year, all kinds of announcements have been springing up all over the place. Announcements which make me happy because obviously they must have received a message mostly from me. Most people do not talk about this or preach about it. And they are to the effect that Christmas is not over. It's not over till Candlemas Day. And so it is. And so the mystery, this mystery which cannot be held in one day or even one week, that we had an octave, even two octaves, because we have the octave, which ends tomorrow, of the Epiphany. Actually, it ends on Tuesday, when in the Gregorian Rite is celebrated this feast of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's still not over. There are many things that are happening, many years that take place. In fact, it is 30 years back and forth that take place, though we try to celebrate it in just a few days, in just a few weeks. And so the mystery of the birth and the manifestation, the Epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God become man, of the ever-Virgin Immaculate Mary, still is ongoing. And it's still ongoing 2,000 years afterwards, because we are still celebrating those same mysteries. They cannot be exhausted. They cannot take up all the time that we have in the world, because they are too magnificent, too wondrous, too glorious, too miraculous. And so here we are, though we're still at Christmas, nevertheless we go forward. In the liturgy we do this. We have the right and the privilege to do this. 30 years, that little baby whom he sanctified in the womb of his mother, St. Elizabeth, now has come forth to do the will of God, to fulfill his role in the history of salvation. And as soon it will be over in his lifetime. St. John the Baptist, the Levite, from the tribe of Levi, but also of the house of David, Zachary and Elizabeth. And so he comes forth to do that for which he was supposed to come. He is the last prophet of the Old Testament, the first prophet of the New Testament. And the main thing was this, the feast that we celebrate today, the baptism of our Lord. And so he began by preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins, which he could not give, but he could prepare them for. It's just like when you go to confession, which you don't do enough, you have to prepare for confession. Look at the examination of conscience. See all the different things that you may have done against God, against others, against yourself. And ask our Lord to forgive you. People think it's just two or three commandments. Oh, God help them. They're going to be in a very warm spot. But anyway, so he prepares them. That is the way it is. That is the history of salvation. That is the history of salvation for you and me also. We need to prepare. And so he prepares them. And then he gives them a symbolic baptism. The baptism of St. John does really nothing. It prepares you. It doesn't sanctify you. It cannot give you life. There's only one baptism that can give you life, and that happens after the event of today. But it can prepare you to receive that life. And so everybody's wondering, is this? No one else has dared to speak like this before. Is this the Christ? Is this the Christ? Is this the Christ? And he says, no. He's very clear, and all the Gospels speak about this. He says, I am baptizing you with water. That's it. But one mightier than I, who is before me, he says elsewhere, not in this particular Gospel, mightier, who came first, but at the same time comes after, that is Jesus Christ. He is mightier than him because he is God. He came before him, because he is eternal. Even though he was born after him, 6 months after him, but that is just in time. He is eternal. One mightier than I, who came after me, he, whom I am not worthy to unloosen the thongs of his sandals, he will baptize you. And thus our Lord comes as he's speaking. The real Messiah, the real Lord, the King of Kings. And he comes and he tells him, okay, now is your time. You are to baptize me. And it says in the gospel elsewhere. There are four gospels, not just one. They're not contrived. Each one tells what he remembers and what is important to him. How can this be? You should be baptizing me, not I, you. And it's very possible that he already had baptized him in the womb. But had he not been baptized in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, he would have had to be baptized. And so our Lord says, no, you are to baptize me, because Jesus must enter with his divine body. He is both God and man. And everything that is human in Christ becomes divine because it is united to the one person, the second person of the Trinity. He is the God-man. And everything he does, everything he touches, is made holy and is made divine by this very reality. So he needs to come down into the waters in order that he can sanctify the waters. And thus he does, and St. John pushes his head down into the waters of the River Jordan, and then he comes forth. And then the manifestation happens. And this is the second phase of the Epiphany. The first was the Magi from afar, three of whom we know, but there were more than three. There were others, with all their entourage and the many things and animals that they brought with them. And this is the third phase we shall see next week, that Jesus is manifested. That is what Epiphany means, the divine manifestation of a divine person or of the Trinity. And here the whole Trinity is manifest. He is put down into the waters, which he then sanctifies forever, so that our baptismal font is the womb of the church, from which babies continuously are sanctified. We have three or four in preparation now, and three or four adults in preparation now. Baptism is forever being celebrated here. And so, as he comes out, the dove, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, manifests himself in the physical form of a dove. Of course, we have him like that all over this church. And then the Father speaks from the heavens, from the cloud. He never is seen, but he always speaks. You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. He testifies to the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, is his Son. He is not the son of Joseph. Joseph, the silent, the just, the holy, is a putative thought of father of Jesus Christ. But he is not his father. That's what the word putative means, from the Latin verb puto, putare, which means to think or to think of. But it is the Father in heaven who is the Father of Jesus Christ, true God and true man. And thus he is manifested. And thus the gift of baptism, which enlightens and enlivens all those who are to be baptized until the end of time, is given. The first of the seven sacraments, in which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are manifest indeed and are part of them all. And so we rejoice today in the gift of baptism, with which we have been reborn, with which and by which we have been cleansed of the mortal original sin of Adam and Eve, and with which we are given the life of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit coming into our soul and dwelling there to prepare us for the end of our time on earth, whatever that may be, so that when he comes to fetch us, unless we have destroyed that by mortal sin, and of course he gave us the sacrament of penance for that, which we should use often, we may be prepared to enter into the kingdom for which he has come, and to which he has come to invite us and to insert us as his beloved children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.